When Laura and I were looking through the verses for today, we found we shared this common love for Psalms. She phrased it as the Psalms being very honest. They're real and unfiltered. They are relatable. There's joy, there's praise, and there's triumph, but there is also questioning and doubt and times of darkness. Psalm 25 that we've read today is a beautiful mix of both. The psalmist is both glorifying God while waiting on God, asking for guidance while asking for forgiveness, even reminding God of his own promises. Psalms are full of individual truth. They remind us that we don't have to and we can't hold back our truth from God. We can bring everything that we are to him, everything that we feel. We've entered into the season of Lent this week, and as we join together on this first Sunday in Lent, we're reminded of what this season is all about. We prepare for reflection. We read the story of Jesus' 40 days in the wilderness. We often think about giving something up or taking something on to create space for God to do work within us and through us. We share in the promise written in this psalm, "For you, I wait all day long." I'm sure anyone listening could think of a time when it felt like you were waiting on God. Some might even feel that we are waiting more often than not. Especially with life these days, we are very familiar with the waiting. And the waiting can get heavy. I remember standing up here last year in March, right after we started streaming the service online, wondering how long was it going to be like this. And here we are almost a year later, seemingly still asking those same questions. We read this psalm in Lent as it's clear that this psalm comes from a time of wilderness. The verses after our reading for today, verses 16 and 17, say, "Turn to me and be gracious to me, for I am lonely and afflicted. Relieve the troubles of my heart and bring me out of my distress." These feelings are familiar to us, these troubles of the heart. We've had to go through our own wilderness this past year, all of us individually and together. For most of us, there's been loneliness and grief and anxiety and lots of questions. But we are not lacking in the good news either. We've seen unprecedented collaboration, triumphs in science, compassion for and from others. And maybe we were lucky enough just to find a little bit more time to rest and reflect. And in our reflection, we're reminded more than ever of the importance of not only seeing and thanking God in times of plenty, but seeking him out and listening in the quiet, in the waiting, that wilderness we talk about. So what's something new that we can bring to this season of Lent when it feels like this year we've all become so accustomed to the waiting? Pastor Charles Aaron Jr. writes of this season that waiting on God does not derive from timidity. So it's not simply taking a seat and hoping for things to change. For the next few months, while we practice our reflection, let's challenge ourselves that we not pray that God changes our circumstances, but instead changes us within these circumstances. Pray that we are granted the patience and the openness for him to work through us. And while he guides us through the waiting, may we also guide others through. In this psalm, we're provided a structure for how we can strengthen our time with God during our waiting. It provides a sort of template for our prayer. First, it starts out with this declaration of trust. "To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. O my God, in you I trust." How often do we begin our prayers this way? Before even voicing our troubles, fully placing ourselves into God's hands. The trust is unconditional. It immediately breaks down any walls. It is there before there are any answers. Next, the psalm continues with a plea for God's support and mercy, this airing the troubles of the heart. But this is also paired with this openness to learn, to be taught. And finally, in true Lenten fashion, a confession of sins, followed by the reassurance of forgiveness, a comfort that we are loved and cherished in the eyes of God. The psalmist in this plea for support speaks of enemies. Do not let my enemies exult over me. We often think of these as external factors, opposing forces outside of our control. But our enemies are often also found within us. We are prone to guilt and self-doubt, insecurity and loneliness. I often get caught up in asking the questions, am I doing this right? Am I doing this well enough? Am I making the choices that God wants for me in my path? But as we go into the 40 days in our version of wilderness, we often take our attention away from things that are outside ourselves, and we spend more time looking in. And that can be scary. That can be hard. It brings attention to those internal enemies. But if we take the time to reflect on them and to acknowledge them, it can start to heal us from them, especially if we ask God to fill that space with his love. Author Nancy Coaster writes about this passage that pride can make us unteachable, but so can guilt and shame. Then we can't move forward, can't hear God's voice of wisdom, or receive blessings and forgiveness. And yet we may become most teachable when we are vulnerable, when our illusions of superiority and self-sufficiency have been stripped away. So that self-doubt, guilt, those questions, whatever enemies we have inside of us, they weigh on us a little less when we acknowledge that what we have done and haven't done right is not the center of the story. Like verse 7 says, "Do not remember the transgressions of my youth, but remember me according to your steadfast love." God remembers us. He knows us more than we know ourselves. And when we turn our reflection inward to who we are and what we're capable of, he already knows. And because of that, he deems us worthy of this steadfast love. And he has faith in us. Who are we to deny that? The last verse from our passage today, verse 10, says, "All the paths of the Lord are steadfast love and faithfulness." But this almost sounds like it comes with conditions, finishing out with, "for those who keep his covenant." That this love and faithfulness only comes to us those who are perfectly obedient to his decrees. But we know that none of us are without sin. None of us are self-sufficient. We are not always perfectly faithful and obedient. If we were, we would have no reason to ask God for his teaching, for his direction. We have it written clearly. We ask God not to remember our transgressions, but to remember us. And he does. He deems us worthy of that love all the same. What verse 10 does is it assures us that those who want to walk the paths of the Lord will learn them, while we are seeking him, and even while we are lost. All the paths we take are filled with his love. He leads the humble and the sinners in his way, if only we take the time to listen. When we ask God to teach us his ways, we learn to be ourselves more loving and faithful to others that we encounter around us. And so these verses present us with both a challenge and with a promise. a humble declaration of trust. This challenge to trust that he is using these circumstances to change us, to work through us, to lead us in his ways, but also a promise that every road we take will lead us to him. Every step along that path is full of his love and his faith in us. And that's not a promise that it's always easy, because if it was easy, we couldn't grow. And if we can't grow, then we don't have space to learn. If we didn't have to wait, we don't have time to reflect. And if we don't have time to reflect, then we can't pinpoint those spaces in our lives that need to feel a little bit more of that steadfast love. Maybe it's in the way we treat others, or maybe it's in the way that we treat ourselves. Maybe it's in the way that we cherish those that we love, or maybe it's how we forgive those we find hard to love. If we didn't have to go through our own wilderness, we wouldn't know how to help others through theirs. And when we come out on the other side, we can proclaim that good news. All the paths of the Lord are steadfast love and faithfulness. When we create space this season, we can feel that faithfulness. Not only strengthening our own faith in God and how he's working through us and working within us, but also feeling his faith in us, how he remembers us, how he sees us. If we wish to learn God's ways, then we wish to become more like him. In a famous quote by Maya Angelou, she says, "Do the best you can until you know better. And when you know better, do better." While we ask for forgiveness, we must also be open to learning. Because if we don't take that forgiveness, this clean slate that we're given, and use it to be better and do better, then we're not going to go anywhere. And that learning requires humility. We have to first confess that we need help with this. The reason God teaches the humble in his ways is because to learn his ways, we must first admit that we can't do it on our own. We don't always say the right thing or make the perfectly selfless choice. We can't know what someone needs without asking. We don't have all the time in the world to stop and reflect. We are limited by busy schedules, trouble in the world around us, and those enemies inside of us. And that's okay. That is the space that we hope to make during Lent. We're not perfect, and we aren't expected to be perfect. We need reminders. And that's what this season is for. A reminder to make the time, just a few minutes, if you can, each day. Ask God how you can be more like him. Admit that you don't have all the answers, because that's his job. When we approach him with trust and humility, we have the most amount of space to learn and grow. We can listen. And none of this happens overnight. We must sink into that trust and be prepared to wait all day long. And while we wait, we step forward, knowing that every step is taking us closer to God. Amen.